of the gospel today are trying to minister without fail. One heard one pastor the other day tell the others that he's just made a new dedication. They're talking about the need for prayer, and he said, "I have set myself, made a decision to pray 1.5 hour every week." What must it have been before? Do you have any idea how many Christians are getting along with no prayer? They're trying to run their armored vehicles for the Lord without gas. Trying to defeat the devil without prayer. Try to go to church but not pray. Hear sermons but not pray. Be convicted but not pray. Challenged but not pray. Get in trouble but not pray. Be blessed but don't pray. Pretty soon, you read about them. Put out of the church. Drop out. Not come anymore. Finally overcome. And I'm not saying all those that were in that situation were because of that. They certainly were not. But I'm saying that if you don't pray, sooner or later the devil's going to down you. You can't go on forever without prayer. We've got to be able to call to God. There are too many Christians in fear of demon power. They fear to tackle it. They fear to touch it. They're afraid of it. Instead of taking their position in God and really going against it, they are afraid to really come against Satan. There are too many Christians that are far too presumptuous concerning demon power, and they're not afraid enough of it. That is, they don't have a proper fear of it. They think that they can attack the highest hierarchy of heaven all by themselves with their sloppy agape and Hollywood holiness, and in their pride they think that they can take on the biggest ones. And they haven't got the slightest idea what they're doing. They haven't got the slightest idea who they're up against. And if they don't get into trouble, it's only because of the mercy of God that tells the devil, "Leave him alone. This person is so dumb and so, you know, you don't touch this one. It isn't even worthy of you. The devil's too busy with other people to even touch such a one." Would be the only reason. We have to recognize the devil is a very powerful foe. All the demons are afraid of him. Christians should recognize we come against principalities and powers in high places. Very powerful foes, so powerful that they hinder angels many times from coming. That hindered the prophet Daniel, who prayed to God, Almighty God, who has trillions of angels, for 21 days before he broke through. In earnest prayer daily. The devil is the prince and power of the air. And he's God of this world. The scripture says. And because this world, not the earth, but this world has given themselves over to the devil. Consciously or unconsciously. And they are serving him. And his demons load their minds and hearts. He's the God of this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. Satan has access to God as the accuser of the brethren and is accusing them before God day and night. He is a vast horde of spirits that are affecting people's lives and is changing the world. His spirits are responsible for bringing all the world into the very many false religions. That's how powerful they are. All these people think this way, and all them think that way, and all them think that way. It's because he has tremendous power. And this demon's over that country, and he brings in Buddhism. And this one brings in Confucianism. This one brings in animism. And this one brings in Mohammedism. And this one brings in, something else. And this one's something else. And they each have that because that demon is leading them. And right now in present America, there is a move by those who have, there's a god of humanism. They've been serving another god of evolution. And a god of hero worship, man worshiping. There are many different gods they're serving. One of them said, well, rock and roll is our religion. We don't bug your religion, leave our religion alone. They're moving in every area. Now, the angels of God have not had the freedom that God really wanted them to have, we want, because God's people have not really been able to pray them down. I mean, we have not been able to pray them through the forces of darkness. They have to contend with the forces of darkness. They have to pass through that realm where they are to get to us. They're not on the earth yet. It isn't until Revelation chapter 12 where the devil is cast down and his angels with him. There was a warfare, according to Revelation chapter 12, where the devil and his angels fight against the Lord, Michael, and his angels. There's a great battle between the angelic forces. But even in these hours, that warfare, there's a constant warfare, but there's a gigantic end final battle to the finish. And it's not finished until God's people are hapazo, snatched out, and find themselves in the other realm. That settles the case. And the prosecutor is kicked out of court. And then the scripture says, now is come salvation. Jesus purchased salvation for us. The devil has contested it in court. You know how when somebody wins in court and they immediately take it to a higher court and appeal it and contest it? The devil has contested what Jesus Christ did. Because Jesus was Adam, one man. There was a man that said on the radio a while back, a minister, one man can only die for one man. Well, with confusion like this, the devil can't either. Also, Jesus is just one man. How come he died for the world? Because God knew he's worth more than everybody else put together. Because there's none righteous, no, not one, outside of Jesus Christ. And the one righteous one meant more to God's heart, who loved him dearly, the darling of his heart, his own son that gave him all honor and glory, obeyed in every respect, no sin in him, was worth more than all the sinning humanity. I'm dogmatic about that. Therefore, I do not believe this man-made idea that one man can't die for more than one person. It's contrary to the scripture that said he died. God, the Son of God, died for the whole world. Now, the devil has contested this whole thing because he saw the whole world in sin. He feels that they should have judgment from God because God is just and justice presupposes judgment. And when one man came in and died for the sins and God accepted it, he contested it. And he's also contesting on the grounds that we are not, after our baptism into Christ, risen to walk in newness of life. We don't walk in newness of life. He's contesting on the fact that after we're saved, we're still listening to the devil and accepting what he says over what God says. So he said that salvation. He's contesting that salvation, saying this isn't right. If they make a blood covenant, and you make a covenant with them to walk with you, then they are to obey that. And if they do not obey it, they are breaking the covenant and they have no right for the fruits of the covenant. Now you see, we don't know a lot about the spiritual warfare. But Lucifer, the bright and shining one, the cherub of God, higher than Michael the archangel and any of the others in the beginning, has had great wisdom and cunning and understanding. There are things that they know in the spirit realm that we don't know at all. They live in a totally different related world than we do. It cannot be equated to us accepting to the material. Therefore, we see visions of material to understand. That's why we see horsemen and swords and warfare. It's only a device to get us to understand. They operate on a totally different basis. They don't wound one another. They don't feel pain when they fight. They don't chop off a piece. They don't clash and hit and bump. All that is material. They're a spirit. It's a spiritual thing. They're spirits. They're invisible. We don't even understand invisible spirits. They're beings. But they know their own thing. And it relates to truth. Their warfare relates somehow. What they're able to accomplish relates somewhat to truth. It relates somewhat to it relates to whatever proprieties God sets, such as on planet Earth, I have given dominion to mankind, and as mankind cares and prays, then we will work. We meaning God and His angels. We will work. And they know they are hindered or not hindered. Demons themselves fight among themselves. Certain ones are chief among others. What makes all these things, we don't fully understand. But there is a warfare. There is a battle. And they cannot come to us, these angels, and minister to us as effectively as they want to, unless there's a lot of prayer. We know from experience that the more we pray, the more angels are sent. Or even to get an angel. These things don't come just quickly and automatically. It takes time to begin to get the spirit world to cooperate with you. Even those dabbling in the spirit world have found it takes time for them to get the demon world to cooperate with them. In some respects. That is, getting them to do what they want them to do. We need to pray and pray, because when the cry goes up to God and enough people pray, then God will hear from heaven. Yes. That's what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and pray, then will I hear from heaven. Yes. He didn't say if my people are in trouble, I will hear from heaven. They were in trouble in Egypt for about 430 years. Right. And they stayed in trouble until they prayed good and plenty. Way okay. Their prayers weren't all the best kind of prayers either. Until they came up to him. In the book of Revelation, we see the angels under the altar praying. I mean, the saints who've been caught up under the altar, who went through great tribulation. How long, O Lord, how long dost thou not avenge your blood of them that dwell upon the earth? And it was said unto them they should rest yet for a little season, that they who had been slain as they were. You know, should rest for the season until the others were slain as they were. Should rest yet. And then he took the golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints. Now they were full of the prayers. Enough prayers had come up that he turned the results of the prayer upside down, and it became God's judgment upon the earth. When God's people pray enough, God will heal. There are too many Christians expecting revival without cost. We're all going to have revival. Not even willing to pay the price of revival. They aren't willing to pray. Revival will do something to you. When you get revived, you know what that means? Witnessing. Oh, I could never do that. Let the love of Jesus show. Oh, well, why should I do that? I mean, if he does that, not to me. I'm not going to do that to him. I mean, if this, you know, it means avoiding temptation. Well, if, you know, she opens up to me, I'm not going to turn it down. See? I mean, they're not even ready for revival. He'll send you out and, oh, I don't want to go anyplace. I mean, I got a nice home here and everything. You know. Praying for revival, have no willingness to even pay the price of revival when it comes. God's too kind to send it to him. Now, I'll tell you something. God is going to allow Satan to drive us to fail. He's going to push on us. And see, Satan will take all he can get. He will chomp like a dragon. And he will hurt and wound and kill and maim as many as he can. Right. And before we wake up. Right. No, I'm not saying that we're not praying. We got lots of people praying. We got more people praying than any 20 churches you see around here. We got people praying. We have some people praying many, 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 many hours every week. We have people praying many hours every day. We got people that pray hour after hour after hour every day. We have lots of people binding together praying. But there are those who are not of that circle. There are those who are not praying very much. And we hold one another back. We don't discern the Lord's body. We're holding it back. According to all the precedent of Scripture, you notice that two tribes didn't go over. Two tribes came back and said, "We can go up and take the land." And the other 10 said, "We can't." And so 2 went over and 10 stayed back, right? No, they all stayed back. The 10 doubters held back the 2 with faith for 40 years until the other 10 decided to believe. God will allow Satan to drive us to holiness. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. That means the prayers of a righteous church availeth much. That means the prayers of an unrighteous church doesn't avail so much. Am I right? Some people wonder why they're not getting deliverance, why they're not moving with God, why God isn't doing. The prayers of a righteous man, a man in right standing. Now, what confuses some people is God's mercy. Because His mercy and grace will come down when they're weak and fumbling, sinning. Then they don't see that clearly. And then they think, "Oh, I don't have to be righteous for God to heal me." You're being presumptuous upon God's mercy. We shouldn't have had in the first place, because He loves you. He's trying to give you hope and encourage you along the way. God's going to allow Satan to drive us to the Word of God. Till the Word of God will be all important. Everything that God says will be important. Amen? And if God says not to offend, either in word or deed, we will say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to quit offending, both in word and deed." Now, well, they made me mad. See, that's an argument against God. That is arguing against God. Whenever you say, "Brother, sister, the word of God says," you say, "Well, yeah, but," you are arguing against God. And what you're doing is taking the words of demons and arguing against God. Justifying sin, justifying disobedience, justifying demonic response because of demons. "Well, yeah, but they made me mad." Well, since when does this holy book teach that we are to blast those that blast us and get angry at those that get angry at us, hate those that hate us, do evil to those that despitefully use us? That is totally contrary to all the teachings of the Beatitudes and the Word of God. That teaches to do good to them that evilly entreat us. God will allow Satan to drive us to humility until we recognize He's God, we are human, the demon powers are greater than we. We only can approach Him on our knees through the grace and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can't do anything of ourselves. We can't live right, we can't walk right, we can't think right, we do not have all the power we think we have over the devil. It's in God, but we have to approach it on right grounds. There is a great, I want to say this again, there is a great pressure that comes from demons that when you're in trouble, they make you feel like, "Oh, I just don't want to get delivered. I don't want to get prayed. I don't want to," you know. There's a feeling that comes on you that makes you feel like, "I can't fight it." It's kind of an apathy. An apathy settles. At the very time you're in trouble, you say, "Well, I got a terrible problem. This pain is, have you been praying about it a lot, brother?" "No." "Well, how many hours have you been praying about it?" "Pray about it a little bit sometimes." "Now, how long really are these prayers?" Now, if they really told you, some cases it's, "Well, I've had this now for," this is how it goes, they told the truth. "I've had it about 3 months. It's been a real agony. I pray maybe, 5 to 10 seconds. Several times a day when it's hurting me, kind of, 'Oh, Lord, heal me of this.' And I go on, and that's a three-second one. I give a few three-second ones occasionally. What's the longest you've prayed? Well, 20 seconds. Really like Jacob. I will not let you go and say, till you heal me. There's a lot of people, there's an apathy on them. How long have you had marriage problems? 3 years. You've really come to grips against it. You've made it the business of your life to solve your problem. You've got together. You've made policies. What policies have you and your wife come to? Well, we really haven't made any. You haven't made any? No. Well, have you really had it come together and talked this whole thing out, and you've never really made any real decisions and steps in this matter? Well, no. We mainly argue. No real, real major efforts. Well, I got this terrible lust problem. How many of you had that? 14 years. What major battles? How many days have you fasted and prayed and sought deliverance in a row? How many hours in a row? Hardly or none. See what's happening? A terrible fog has settled in until the very power, the weapon they have in prayer is not used by many Christians. Now, we've got Christians who are smart enough to pray at the drop of a hat. I mean, they hear a clatter and they're praying against before they turn around and see what it is, hardly. They're praying all the time. God bless them. But we can't have a few carry everybody. We need the power of prayer. We need people praying for the whole body. We need people praying for those that are drop out, come discouraged. We need them praying for Becky King. We need to pray until she comes back in. If a whole lot of people, all of you girls that really know her, would pray with your whole heart for her, you know, you find that pretty soon, next thing you know, why she'd be back here sitting in the pew.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say something. I don't want to hurt, but I have to be able to say something sometimes. You know what the problem was in that case? The same problem it is in lots of cases. Not doing anything about the problem because it doesn't seem so huge. I mean, it's bad, but it's not violent, so because it's not really a violent problem, it doesn't seem so bad. Making it, keeping up, let the problem go year after year until finally the person says, I've had it, and that's it. It's all over. It's dangerous to do that. It is dangerous to allow problems to stay and stay and stay and stay, and pretty soon it's just like living with communism in the land all the time. Nobody cares anymore. It's like having X-rated theaters all the time. I mean, before, you know, everybody would march, you know, if they had anything that was, you know, they'd march to drive it out of town, but once it's around all the time, nobody cares, nobody's shocked anymore. See, the shockability all comes out. People get living comfortably with demons, all the demonic pressures and the temptations. We're living in a foggy world where there isn't clean cut. The church is not clean cut throughout the world. Now, there is a cry of God's people going up. There are Christians who are on fire for God, Christians who care, and our church has more than most churches. But we can't rest on that, especially if you're not one of them. It's not good enough to say, to be smoking, drinking on a bus and saying, most of this bus are Christians. Yeah, but you're not. We got a lot of prayers at Community Chapel. Yeah, but are you? A lot of people walking in righteousness, but are you? A lot of people witnessing in our church, but are you? Some people get tricked by the fact that the bus is loaded with a lot of people who are good. It might prevent the bus going over a cliff if you know, because they're playing people on board, but when you get off at the other end, they may not let you in the gate. You don't have the right button on. You don't have a pass. God's going to allow Satan to drive us to love. We're going to end up loving one another, and loving God. Loving Him so much we won't do anything to disappoint Him. And when that happens, when you're so much in love with Him, you wouldn't disappoint Him for anything. You're not having to fight sin anymore all the time. You just don't want to disappoint Him. It isn't. Well, what does the law say? Well, how can I do this? It isn't that kind of a thing. It's, Lord, I don't want to do anything. If anybody might question what I don't want to do, I don't want to hurt you in any way. I love you. And we start having a love for God and get delivered from demonic power. You know something? Husbands are going to start loving their wives as never before. And wives are going to be loving their husbands as never before. And they'll be loving their children and being tender with them as never before. And the children are going to love their parents as never before. And the children are going to love each other as never before. God's going to allow Satan to drive us to fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous. These angels are hindered from reaching us many times because of lack of faith, lack of prayer, lack of holiness, because of apathy, because of lack of discerning the Lord's body, because of worldliness, because of selfishness, because of pride. Now, I love this body. God has called me to be your shepherd, your pastor. You're my life. You're my heart. It's very, very important to my life and to my heart as to how you live. I cannot be one of these pastors that are higher in, like a hireling, higher in, preach messages at them, and care less what they do with it, and go home satisfied. I can't do that. If I ever have a church that will not follow God's word anymore, I'll quit. I won't preach to it. Not unless God, I have to wait till God releases me, of course. I'll do it if God tells me to. But I want people that want to follow God, live for God. You people that are coming in and being added to the church, we have high holiness standards. Don't bring in your sloppy agape and start spilling them over in the rest of the congregation. Don't start dating all people here and bring your worldliness and carnality and start lugging them out to the world's movies and things like that. We don't want it. We don't want it. Quit tempting them sexually and other ways. We don't want it. Your admission into this church is predicated on the fact that you're willing to be corrected, you're willing to be taught, you're willing to humble yourself in submission, and you're willing to lose your life that you might find it. That you're willing to go to the cross and get rid of your sins and walk with God. You're willing to become like Jesus. Now, we stand willing to be patient as the day is long. We stand willing to forbear with you, to forgive you over and over and over, to pray for you, to help you, to love you, to be concerned about you. We stand willing to put up with weakness, but not with rebellion, not with unwillingness. If you don't want holiness, you're in the wrong church. If you don't want to live right, if you don't want to be changed, you're in the wrong church. If you don't want anybody to touch your life, you're in the wrong church. This is a church where we come to be vulnerable before God and one another. We come to do business, serious business, to be changed from this world and come out of the world. If you want to argue all the rights of Hollywood holiness, this is the wrong church. If all you want is blessings and good feelings and everything nicey nice and don't want to hear anything about sin, cleaning up, walking with God, you're in the wrong church. In fact, you got the wrong Bible. Because this Bible is loaded with telling people to quit sinning. We mean business for God. The reason that Community Chapel has had a move of God, such as few churches have, from the very inception to the present, is because of several things. One, you allow me to say it, the pastor's willingness to speak straight and correct. And two, the people's willingness to say, give it to us, Pastor, and to do something about it. It's those two things together. And if we lose either one of them, the church will go down the drain. That's right. When God's people won't hear anymore, or the pastor won't preach anymore, well, then God packs his bag and goes elsewhere, so to speak, and looks for somebody else. We have got to continue to do business with God.